News update for June 23rd, 2022, on this Thursday morning edition, part four. Let's continue on with the War Room with Stacey Lee. And, of course, we're on XM, we're on FM, and we're on all podcasted venues. If you'd like to help us out meeting our $1,600 challenge so we can be caught up on the station where we lost two sponsors, please simply give me a call at area code 252-833-9067 to take your credit card or debit card donation, which is much and most appreciated during this time of need. I ask as a plea, but both as a, you know, look at what you're getting for. You're paying, you know, for the New 100 Church of Christ online ministries. That's what part of that money goes to. And also for the In the News Update Network, where you get all the latest news from independent thinkers, including original content that I put out almost every day as well. So keep it right here. And if you want to help us out, you'll get a tax deductible. It's a win-win. So just dial that number, 252-833-9067, to make a world of difference, to change hearts and minds, and to save people and to inform them at the same time of what is coming ahead around the corner so they can be more prepared, better for it. All right, let's get to the show here, folks. I'm Michael DeSilvis on The Last Bastion of Freedom, the Freedom Network. And, of course, we're going into hour number four today.
Finch says he sees his current mission is clear as day, defending medical freedom and providing access to honest, transparent, and ethical care for people, which is something you cannot find in America's current medical industrial complex. So we're going to be talking to him for this. And actually, if we could, this video is so good, and you can go and watch the whole thing later, but as we wait to bring him on and we leave to go to a break real quickly, can we play at least the first part of that? Clip six.
If you have a family with young kids, if you're an elderly patient who's tired of like bad care through Medicaid or Medicare, if you don't have insurance, Adam Hartage here with Remote Health Solutions.
Adam Hartage, CEO of Remote Health Solutions at Veteran Himself. Adam,
if you're like me and you are sick and tired of the healthcare system as it exists, I pay an insane amount of money just for access to healthcare insurance, which doesn't even do much for me. There's got to be a way for me to access the kind of care that I need, that my kids need, that my spouse needs. And it's got to be more effective, cheaper, transparent. Lack of transparency is a big issue these days. There's got to be a better way. Here to tell you right now, there is. And I'm very excited to show you that today. So keep watching. We're going to walk you through it. We have this evolved society where all are equal, except for the unvaccinated versus the vaccinated.
31-year-old is in desperate need of a heart transplant. But because he has not received his COVID-19 vaccination, he is no longer eligible according to the hospital policy.
Hospitals began firing or suspending healthcare workers for defying a state order to get the COVID-19 vaccine.
I have not had a vaccination. I did not want to have a vaccination.
October 7th, 2021, I watched as one of the major hospital systems in New York fired 1,400 hospital workers for refusing to get an experimental vaccine.
As COVID cases spread and emergency rooms fill up, hospitals have to make some tough choices about who gets seen and who doesn't.
About a year ago, there's a mother who called me up who was in tears because she could not
get The Exorcist is a new film, 2000 Mules, is the most important documentary in modern times because it proves how the deep state stole the 2020 election and how they're planning to steal future elections and complete our journey to face.
With our guests, I'm not sure what's going on with that, but we will try and continue to connect. I have a few other things I can talk about in the meantime until we figure out what's going on with that. As long as we're talking about COVID, many of us say that we want to know that someone's doing something. You know, we've been so let down by who are supposed to represent us, those in Congress. And there is this video that was released of Representative Roger Marshall and Jim Jordan. And basically they're saying we will go after Fauci.
They released the video, The Fauci Cover-Up, and it outlines their investigation about many of the things that we already know. It's just about if we can get control back in the Senate. And I do believe that there's enough good people in there. And if we get more good people in there, then we can actually do something about this. But they are promising to do...
We're having to watch this January 6th committee ridiculousness. So if we can get some control back...
...representation, then we can launch our own committees on how COVID was handled, how much money truly does go to those that are approving the vaccines. It's such a mess. I mean, the fact that we had to see Rand Paul questioning Fauci and saying, how much in royalties have you gotten? How many on the advisory board have gotten royalties when it comes to these vaccines? And he basically has to acknowledge that they did get paid. We just don't know how much. And apparently that's just okay, that it can be redacted because they have a regulation in place that allows them to cover that up. It's such a mess. It needs to be cleaned out. Well, hopefully it will be if we can get a fair election and launch some investigations and committees of our own. Another thing is that has just been ridiculous is how they've tried to push the monkeypox, and we were seeing it everywhere. I mean, even to the point that we're saying, like, does monkeypox mean you should wear a mask and it's not even airborne? And now they want to rename it. Part of that might be so they can reframe it, you know, because now people know monkeypox is really something that you're only at risk of, or mostly at risk of, if you're a gay man. And that's what this is talking about. So maybe they need to give it a new name so more people will be afraid. But here we are in Pride Month, and monkeypox outbreak, 99% of cases detected are in men. So you'd think that before, during, you know, all of this time that we've been in Pride Month, and there's these parties and there's these parades and there's all of this debauchery going on, that they would really want to target those most at risk. If you say that you care for these groups, if you say that you care for gay men, if you say that you care for the LGBTQ community, then if you really cared for them, then you would be making sure that your messaging about monkeypox was going directly to them, right? So according to the World Health Organization report, 99% of cases of the monkeypox are detected in men. A total of 42 countries, both endemic and non-endemic, have reported 2,103 laboratory-confirmed cases of monkeypox since the beginning of the year, according to the WHO. Over 98% of monkeypox cases have been reported since May of this year, and with Europe reporting 84% of those cases. Of these cases, a whopping 99% of all monkeypox cases are reported in men, and most self-identify as men who have sex with other men. Yet, the prime opportunity to warn them, to talk about monkeypox to that community during Pride Month, it just doesn't happen. So if we're able to connect with our guest, I'm not sure what's going on with that. We're going to be talking about just how we can't trust our medical system anymore. We can't trust the hospitals. I mean, how many stories have I done about families now? I mean, at least three off the top of my head that have had their loved ones taken away by the hospital. We spoke to Scott Shira, who the hospital very clearly basically euthanized his daughter, 19 years old, that had Down syndrome. We've talked to Stacy and Sarah, women who had their husbands killed by the system. And all of these stories are so similar. It's not that these families, when they went to the hospital, trying to, you know, get just see if they needed a little bit of assistance. In every single one of those cases of these stories that I was able to share, they did ask specifically and told the hospital, I don't want you to give my husband, or I don't want you to give my daughter remdesivir. I don't want you to put my husband, or I don't want you to put my daughter on a ventilator. And these hospitals just didn't listen. And even if the patient, like in one of the cases with the husband saying he at the outset he didn't want to have remdesivir or
to be put on a ventilator. They pumped them full of drugs like Presidex, or in some cases morphine type drugs, and basically setting it up so that they couldn't even vocalize that they didn't want these treatments. So it's been very clear that we can't trust the hospitals. I mean, even to the point where in every single one of these cases, these family members tried to get their loved ones out of the hospital and they couldn't even do that. And also it's very difficult to hold these hospitals accountable because of the CARES Act. It is basically in there that these hospitals can't be held liable if they were following essentially dictates that were written into the CARES Act. So it's very clear that we need a separate system, that we really need to now build up our own medical response teams, and efforts are being made. Mary Tally Bowden is a good example of that. She has started her own private practice. Now, she doesn't take insurance, which makes it a little bit more difficult, but as we're able to develop these, maybe there'll be other ways that we can. But it's very clear that we can't trust the medical, the traditional medical system anymore. We've seen countless examples like the ones that we will talk about. Boston patient removed from heart transplant list for being unvaccinated. So the unvaccinated are treated differently. A nurse was fired for refusing the COVID vaccine. She said, "We work so hard and they're kicking us to the curb." And this happened all over the place. A Colorado woman who wouldn't get vaccinated denied a transplant. And they predetermine that the transplant will go to waste because supposedly you're less likely to have a good outcome if you're not vaccinated. So as more information comes out, like we saw in other articles that I read, that you're actually, now we're seeing more and more of the vaccinated that are having the bad outcomes. Is the tables going to be turned? Are the transplant lists going to be modified so that if you're vaccinated, now you could be at risk for not getting a transplant? See, I would never wish that upon anybody. I don't think that it should be a condition. I mean, so even if vaccinated, we're more at risk for adverse events, I wouldn't say that they shouldn't deserve a transplant, because, you know, those of us on this side are humane. The fact that anyone was cheering on unvaccinated people from getting life-saving treatment because of a medical decision they made about their own bodies is insane. Pfizer and BioNTech initiate rolling submission for emergency use authorization of their COVID-19 vaccine in children 6 months through 4 years of age, following their request from the U.S. FDA. It feels like we're in a completely different universe with this going on. Children at this age are not at risk of having any adverse reactions to just getting COVID and recovering. We're now seeing in the New England Journal of Medicine that you actually have a better outcome if you do have natural immunity. So it's awful that they're continuing to push these things out. And like I've seen other doctors that fight for us, they're saying, how can an infant tell you they're having issues with their heart? Because we know that that's a big side effect. More about this when we get back.
Ladies and gentlemen,
locate our guests. Our guest is so busy building this new community of medical professionals that we can trust and ways that we can get medical care, because we can't trust the current system. It's so broken. He's so busy doing that maybe he forgot about us. I'm not sure, but we're working on that. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to open up the phone lines and you can call 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. You can call in to talk about any of the subjects that we have covered so far. Or here's an idea. You know, they want to rename monkeypox. What do you think they should rename monkeypox to? I already got someone that sent me sent me an idea. Pridepox. Our friend Sam just sent that to me. Pride Pox is what he thinks it should be called. What do you think it should be called? So let us know, call in, or you can talk about any of the other subjects that we've talked about so far today while we try and track down our guest. In case you missed it, this also has to do with what we've been talking about. Doctors sue FDA over a legal attempt to prevent ivermectin use. So here's another thing that we've seen from the FDA. We've seen their corruption when it comes to willy-nilly approving vaccines and approving treatments, even though there's a million other warning signs that, you know, maybe they shouldn't, because we know they're compromised, they're getting kickbacks, they're getting money. But not only are they doing that, but they have tried to make concerted efforts to prevent you from taking what you want or choosing the treatment that you want. So there's doctors that have come together that are now suing the FDA over this illegal attempt to prevent ivermectin use, because this is something that's been done for years and years, off-label use, and suddenly that changed. And why did it change? So let's watch a little bit more of that video that talks about this remote health solutions, the pocket care, while I wait for more of you to call in. Let's go to clip number 6.
Their system as it exists, I pay an insane amount of money just for access to health care insurance, which doesn't even do much for me. There's got to be a way for me to access the kind of care that I need, that my kids need, that my spouse needs. And it's got to be more effective, cheaper, transparent. Lack of transparency is a big issue these days. There's got to be a better way. Here to tell you right now, there is. And I'm very excited to show you that today. So keep watching. We're going to walk you through it. We have this evolved society where all are equal, except for the unvaccinated versus the vaccinated.
31-year-old is in desperate need of a heart transplant. Because he has not received his COVID-19 vaccination, he is no longer eligible according to the hospital policy.
Hospitals began firing or suspending healthcare workers for defying a state order to get the COVID-19 vaccine.
I have not had a vaccination. I did not want to have a vaccination.
October 7th, 2021, I watched as one of the major hospital systems in New York fired 1,400 hospital workers for refusing to get an experimental vaccine.
As COVID cases spread and emergency rooms fill up, hospitals have to make some tough choices about who gets seen and who doesn't.
About a year ago, there's a mother who called me up, who's in tears because she could not get her 6-year-old daughter into the pediatrician's office because her 6-year-old was unvaccinated. These people have been basically discarded like waste for refusing to let someone else mandate what goes into their body. This is insane. Being told what you can or can't do. I mean, this is not a left or a right issue. This is a very simple, are we a society that values the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the fundamental concepts that America was built on? The medical industrial complex is broken. The worry, the paranoia, the fear, the expenses, the wait times, government overreach, mandates, lockdowns, tyranny. And it just could not sit with me. And I was like, this will not stand.
Let's bring in Adam Hartage, CEO of Remote Health Solutions, a veteran himself. Adam.
Mr. Hartage, first of all, I want to thank you for your service to our nation.
Hospital systems become overburdened.
Okay, we can pull out of that video now. That's Adam Hartage, who we're trying to get. Hey, Adam, you were on Vox, clearly, so I don't know why. Now, we had a setup with them. I'm sure something came up. And so if we can get him, we will. If not, I will have him on my channel later on. In the meantime, I see a lot of your calls coming in, so let's go ahead and take some phone calls. So Aaron wants to talk about the COVID vaccine, how to talk to people about it. Aaron, you're on the air.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, Aaron.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I just wanted to kind of encourage people to have the conversation with people, even if you don't think they're going to be receptive to it. That's kind of how I've been. I've been taking in all this information, and I have all this information in my head, and I figured it's time to kind of get it out and have the conversation with people, especially if you don't think they're going to be receptive to it. I talked to a guy, I'm a strength and conditioning coach, so I was talking to him while I was coaching him, and he just came off of a really bad bout with influenza, and he said he felt like he was going to die, and I know that he's had all three of these shots, and I started laying it out for him, telling him how this shot replaces your immune system and just gives you a little bit of immunity to COVID, but everything else kind of can get through and take a pretty bad toll on you. And he just kind of put his head down, put his head in his hands, so to speak. And it seemed like he knew all this already. He had been hearing it, but trying to deflect it all. And me, coming from me, him and I have a pretty good relationship. So coming from me, he actually listened to me. His wife is still really sick, and kind of encouraged him to look into that to see if what he's experiencing is a result of the shots, or try to pursue some actual treatment for COVID. And like I said, to my surprise, I was really pleasantly surprised that he was open to it. I've been kind of nervous to talk about this stuff with people. I don't have to tell you guys that you get you don't really get a good response most of the time from people. I wanted to just kind of
It sounds like you're a very reasonable person, that you would be very kind and compassionate in your approach. So please, guys, when you have these situations, don't approach it like I told you so or whatever. Although that might be tempting, because, you know, those of us that have resisted have been so vilified. But don't repay evil for evil. Just be kind and compassionate, like I'm sure you were, Aaron. And that can open up the conversation. And like you said, Aaron, I think that people don't necessarily wake up until they experience these things firsthand, like my friend, that it was really the nastiness of the doctor when she refused to take it because of the pregnancy that really woke her up to this.
That's right. I think having some tabs open on your mobile device would help too. I had some NIH studies on ivermectin done, and kind of right to the part where the WHO calls ivermectin an essential medicine for world health, that billions of people worldwide take it prophylactically for all different kinds of things. Having that stuff really helps too, because, you know, when they can see it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, they can hear that.
nice expression. Since we're talking about ivermectin, might as well say straight from the horse's mouth, right?
That's all I really wanted to say. Also, you know, I think I heard a caller tell you that it was a nice change. I love Alex and Owen; those guys are great. But it's kind of a nice change when you're hosting, because you're, I think you said you had the right option. You just happen to be about you. It's easy to listen to, so I really appreciate it.
Aw, thank you so much, Aaron. I really appreciate it. Stick around, guys. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Support people like me and the resistance.
There's an old Bedouin saying that's thousands of years old, and it goes like this: trust in God, but tie up your camel. Hunter S. Thompson.
Folks, thanks for tuning in to the War Room. Filling in Owen's seat. I know it's hard to tell the difference between a man and a woman, and it's very presumptive of you to think otherwise. But let's get back to your phone calls. Let's go to, it appears my guest is calling. Guys, the guest is calling my phone now. So if you want to set up trying to get him on in the next segment, that'd be great. Don't know what's going on with that. But yeah, let's go to your calls. In the meantime, let's go. I did ask that for possible ideas to call monkeypox, since they don't want to use that term anymore. So let's go to Johnny in Denmark. What do you think monkeypox should be called?
Oh, hi, Chrissy.
Hi.
Harry, long time, no talk. Anyway, congrats on and thanks for guest hosting on, and even photo and video modeling on InfoWars.
Oh, you like the t-shirts? I mean, it
does. Yes, I like
if
the pictures.
Then you better,
like
did you buy any? Did I do with the modeling if you didn't buy the t-shirts? Get on there and buy yourself an InfoWars t-shirt. Come on, Johnny.
I buy lots of other things, though. Trust me. I bought about $60,000 worth of InfoWars products in 2017.
Well, gee, so. Thanks.
I should get a pass on the t-shirts. You did a great job, because there was no chance of selling me on it anyway. Anyway, my name for it is the Monkey Business Pseudovax.
The Monkey Business Pseudovax.
Yeah. Because I'm not sure whether it's a vax or not, but when you have an injection that is at best a vax, you're not doing well. Like the COVID-19 the jab obviously is not a vaccine.
No.
as we know.
Well, I mean, it is, because they conveniently redefined the word, Johnny. Remember, it wasn't a vaccine until they went in and just redefined the word. Now it's totally a vaccine.
Yeah, but not really, because the way
I'm being facetious,
defined it, The way Dr. Even with a new definition, the way Dr. Fauci defined it, he said it has to result in a reduction of symptoms if you actually do contract it, and even that hasn't been shown.
Yeah.
There's not enough data, he says. So even with their rigged definition, it's not a vaccine.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's so deceitful how they've done everything. And then even with the announcement of vaccinating the youngest among us, the announcements said that they approved it to prevent COVID-19 infection. And we already know and have known for many months that it doesn't actually prevent infection. So why are they saying that they approved it to prevent COVID-19 vaccine? It's just they lie.
I think it's also, there's an occasional InfoWars guest host, you've probably seen Andrew Tate, and he pointed out that they're deliberately gaslighting people with obviously ridiculously narratives to humiliate people, because humiliated people are easier to control.
Mm-hmm. Or easier to tick off. I think that part of me sometimes wonders if they do this to us to really poke the bear, to get us so enraged that they're just hoping and counting on something violent to happen so they can clamp down even harder.
I think that's a good point, because I've said it serves multiple agendas.
Yeah.
And I even have an acronym, an initialism for that, which is GM Sickles. And remember, GM is itself an initialism for Grandmaster. And the GM Sickles, which I think is quite apt, is genetic modification, sickening, impoverishment, control, killing, oppression, and sterilization. And this new monkeypox, so alleged vax. I don't know if it is or not, but if it is, it's either that or worse. It could be another genetically modifying injection, just like the COVID-19 sort of vax.
Yeah.
But the thing I wanted to talk about beyond that was there. It's very interesting that part of the gaslighting is that there were no excess. There was no excess mortality in 2020, and in fact, up till a point in August in 2020, there wasn't a single country in the world, actually, where there was more mortality than there was in 2019. And they had to do something about that, so that's part of the reason why they got all the so-called anti-COVID measures going at the end of 2020 to increase the mortality, because that would have been embarrassing. But even though there wasn't any more per capita mortality, since the Earth's population had increased, there was more absolute mortality. And there are two main reasons. There are two mutually exclusive theories for that. I mean, the pandemic theory is obvious nonsense, because there would have been great excess mortality relative to 2019, but there wasn't. And one is one that I've mentioned repeatedly on all three of the InfoWars shows, that there's no new disease because, again, there's no new symptom set, no new symptom severity set, no new isolated pathogen, and no new transmission characteristics, so there can't be a new disease. There's no basis on which to suspect it or verify it. But the other is, and it's possible, I don't know how probable, but it is possible, that there was a new pathogen and new disease, but they didn't want to reveal the real genome for it because it was so sinister. But then how do you account for the lack of excess mortality in 2020? The answer was people weren't going to doctors. And iatrogenic disease and death is one of the leading causes. So the two may have balanced each other out. They might have had a new disease on the one hand, but people visiting doctors less and not dying as a result of medical treatment compensating for it and killing fewer
people.
That's
a good point. Awesome. Thank you, Johnny, for your phone call. I want to try and get another phone call in before I have to go to break. Let's go to Nathaniel from Rhode Island. Nathaniel?
Hey, Christy Lee. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate the InfoWars Network. I wanted to talk about the foot soldiers. I'm so glad that you called the police foot soldiers, because that's exactly the same phrase that I've been using about them for I don't know how long now. I'm a street preacher. I walk around with a Jesus sign, and one of my biggest opponents in these Democrat infested areas has been the police. Time and time again, the police have come up to me and said, basically, you need to leave now or you're going to jail. And so I really want people to pray for my Jesus sign ministry, because every time I go out there, there's a possibility that some corrupt cop will come over to me and say, oh, you seem kind of mentally unstable.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and so it's so disappointing on so many levels. Like, here you are on the streets trying to send a message of love about Jesus, and they're bothering you when they could be trying to actually fight the increases of crime. The other reason it's so disappointing is because it certainly wasn't okay, the violence we saw against officers. And so I really wanted to support them after all that and after all those calls to defund the police. And then now here we are, and it's just like you either have cops that are foot soldiers that are just following orders, never mind about the oath to the Constitution, or like in the Uvalde case, they're saying like, well, we didn't get orders to go in, so it's like they had to have orders to go in and save children. It's insane.
So maddening. Like when I heard the story about what happened in Uvalde, if it's true that the cops just stood down as some wicked young man just opened fire and started murdering little children. I mean, if the cops just stood outside and were like, oh, well, we can't do anything, that's bull dookie, you know what I mean?
So yeah, and it's so disappointing. Thing. What happened to our men? What happened to our men that would, like, just not wait for an order and go in and save children? It's so maddening. It's so sad. Nathaniel, thank you for your phone call. It does look like we were able to find our guest. I do see him in the monitor. We're going to connect with him in the next segment. So yay for that. I'm excited to talk to Adam Hartage. Glad he could connect with us. He's going to be joining us just after this break. And then when I can, I will. If you want to stay on the line, we'll get to the calls when we can. Thanks for waiting and thanks for tuning in.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the last 30 months, we've witnessed the globalists hit humanity and hit humanity extremely hard. It is beyond critical that everyone listening to the sound of...
Great music, feeling happy and lighthearted. I'm so glad that our guest is safe. You know, people that are brave and stand up to the establishment and then they go missing, you worry. So I was worried about our guest when we couldn't connect right away. But looks like he's safe. We have given him quite the introduction already, Adam Hartage. He fought for us, literally fought in 4 wars, 6 deployments. And now he's fighting for us, for our medical freedom and for actual medical help that we can trust. So Adam, thank you for joining us. I'm so glad you can make it. And like I said, I'm so glad that you're here. I was worried about you for a second. Stay safe.
Really appreciate it. It's wonderful to see you, Christy Lee. It's I apologize.
No need to apologize. We're just glad you're safe.
So anyway, but we got the tech issues fixed up and we're all here. So
good.
It's all good. Yeah. Anyway, how are you today?
I'm good. Hopefully you're okay. We're so glad that you're stepping up to the plate. Man, it's amazing because it's such a void that we need to fill. But with your background, with having served, how does it connect? How did you start getting involved to build a new structure?
Sure. But you know, it's really interesting. We've been in this business for 5 years. It's not like we just, you know, saw a pandemic and said, oh, we'll just try this telehealth game. We've actually been in the business for 5 years, but it wasn't until last year when I saw them fire about 1,400 hospital workers in New York that I said, man, this can't stand. We've got to be the company that stands in the gap. And we're now on a mission to hire every single healthcare worker that needs an opportunity that was either fired or forced to resign for refusing a mandate. And as I say now, you know, we're building Noah's Ark for medicine, or we're building the medical economy 2.0. And it's just a continuation of service the way that I see it. It's just a calling, and it's frankly not something that I chose, but it chose me. And I've stood up to tyrants and bullies all my life, and I'm gonna do it now. And what I see going on right now is nothing less than a tyrannical attempted overthrow of our fundamental rights as Americans and a disservice to the Constitution, to the rule of law, to common sense, and frankly to everything that it is to be American. So we are not a country that supports lockdowns and mandates. And by the way, mandates aren't even laws. They literally right. have no legal ground whatsoever.
They treat it like a law, though, and we've been talking about these law enforcement officials, and it's like they don't even know the law. They treat these rules and these mandates as if they're laws, and now we're stuck with people that are like foot soldiers to the establishment who will just be like, oh, I'm just doing what I'm told to. I mean, that can just be the next thing that you work on, is fixing our law enforcement system.
You know, it's funny, I was talking to my wife about this today, and I'm saying, like, man, the extent of the problem set is so big, it's a head scratcher even trying to get after it. So what we've decided is that we're gonna save medicine for America, and that's where we're gonna start. Obviously, I do know the more sort of kinetic warfare side of things, and I certainly don't think we're anywhere near that point as a country, but I do see very serious dark clouds on the horizon, and I don't just mean from a political standpoint. This is not a left or a right issue. This is a fundamental question of what does it mean to be American? Are we a country that values the rule of law and values all of those things? Exactly like what you're showing on the screen right now. That's part of, we made this video, we made this movie to tell the story, to let people know we are standing in the gap for them. We are their line of defense, and we are their connection to honest medical providers and honest access to care. Because I've had countless calls from people, I mean, just crying, hysterical, that have needed care and cannot get it because they refuse to accept a tyrannical mandate. And I don't really care if you are jabbed or not jabbed. I mean, you can't call me an anti-vaxxer because, I mean, my jab card from
the military. Yeah, I mean, you were in the military. You guys have the most vaccinations.
I've had everything under the sun, including all 6 anthrax shots plus the boosters and everything else. Now, I did not get this series of vaccinations because I just saw that, I mean, if you just looked at it and you asked some honest questions, you know, something in the milk was sour. And that was kind of clear from day one. And I remember in March of 2020, when they said 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and I looked at, you know, I looked around to the people in my company and said, this isn't going to end after 2 weeks. I said, this is, they're going for all the marbles here. This is total lockdown and an attempted tyrannical overthrow. It is a socialist nightmare that we are faced with. And I intend to educate as many people as I can. And frankly, to speak the truth and speak it boldly and loudly. And I know that we're going to be fine in the long run, and that we win in the long run, because when we stand on the side of right, you know, it can stand the light of day, whereas the enemy that we're facing, what they stand for cannot stand the light of day, which is why they run and hide and want to deceive and and, you know, it's very simple. It's
well, it sounds, yours is this is very like Teladoc focused. I've had to tell horrific, absolute horrific stories of people and the way they were treated in the hospital, and in some of those cases they weren't even able to get out of the hospital once they checked in. So what is the solution for patients that might actually need to go to the hospital but they can't trust it?
Sure. You know, that's a great question. And I'll tell you, we've dealt with those exact same situations. There are a couple of cases that come to mind for HIPAA and whatever. I can't really talk about specifics, but I will tell you that I was intimately involved in one of them, and we were not successful in getting this individual's, turned out it was a father, access to the care that they wanted. And ultimately he passed away, and he passed away in the hospital on a vent, and he was one of many cases, which I'm aware of. And it's just, It's just awful to see. And so what
I imagine what you're saying is, like, avoid the hospital at all costs. Just contact us early so that at least if you have to go to the hospital, we can in some ways prepare you to deal with that, right?
Right. Well, what I would say, right, so early intervention is key. Let's take, for example, coronavirus. Not everything is coronavirus, but that's the hot topic these days. So early intervention is key. If you're either, you know, you think you've got an issue or you even want preventive treatment, give us a call. You know, we do one-off telehealth consults, which we can take care of you from a preventive standpoint. We can give you therapeutics. We can give you the kind of prescription medications that the government, you know, for whatever reason, doesn't like to support because even though that's the, for example, let's take ivermectin, the number two drug in the world on the World Health Organization medications list, and all of a sudden the government poo-poos it because there's no money behind it and it's not patentable anymore because it's 40 years old. So with most things, I just say follow the money, but I would say if people are looking for access to quality care, go to any one of the freedom-loving providers. So, I mean, I would say, I mean, and most people at this point know who they are. You know, it's Frontline Critical Care Network, it's Remote Health Solutions, it's, you know, it's all out there. For the alternative freedom-based medical economy, and there's maybe only, I'd say, four or five real players that are in the game that are standing in the gap boldly, and we're one of them. And I will say that you come and you consult with one of our physicians, one of our providers, you're going to get honest information. And then if you do need to go to a clinic or if you need additional treatment, there are other options. It's not just straight go to the hospital, but also even if you do have to go to the hospital, there are ways that one can do that and still make their medical requirements, for example, for treatment known, and they can take some steps from a legal standpoint and everything else to protect themselves. So we can advise in that regard. I would highly recommend if anyone has a question, if they need a second opinion, if they are not sure if whether or not they need to be on a regimen, a medication, if they have a, let's say, a pre-existing condition that they haven't had looked at because they've been afraid to go to the hospital, give us a call. We can handle, I would say, 90% of things that people need handled, really other than any sort of major traumatic events, like a leg needing to be set or a heart transplant, you know, something like that. We are able to do most virtually. And it is much more convenient, fast.
Well, Adam, I'm going to ask you to stay over since we got a little bit late. I want to be able to ask you about affordability, how we can work it into our plans. I also want to ask you about, like, blood supply, what's that looking like with the vaccine, and more after this break. All right, we are back with Adam Hartage. He is representing basically a telecare health system type system. Remote Health Solutions is what it's called, Pocket Care. And we only have a few more minutes with you, Adam. So wanted to ask you what the affordability is like. Does Remote Health Solutions take insurance, or what can that look like for people?
No, that's a great question. Thanks, Christy Lee. No, we do not take insurance of any kind. We are a completely cash-based alternate medical economy. And we apologize to the folks that would love to be able to use their insurance plan. But the bottom line is if we do take insurance money, such as Medicare and Medicaid, then we're required to adhere to certain mandates. Let's say certain, if you're going to take their money, then you're going to follow their rules.
Comes so with strings attached.
Yep, exactly. Strings attached always. So it's I would recommend that anybody who either has insurance and needs a supplemental, let's say, gap type coverage plan, they should come see us. Anybody that doesn't have insurance absolutely needs to come see us. Our Pocket Care Concierge access for direct primary care is $149 a month for an adult, and it's $99 a month for a child. We're running an early bird special on all of that right now. It's coast to coast.
So it's kind of like a one-stop shop. Like if you have been disgruntled, disappointed with the current establishment and want to give up on the demands of insurance, which can be arbitrary, then you can actually go to Remote Health Solutions and you can get insurance and a solution to medical care, right?
That's correct. And then not only that, but if you're a member of Pocket Care on that $149 a month plan, you have access to your provider. And when I say your provider, I don't mean a provider, but your provider that you choose. Your provider, you have access to that person, not quite 24/7, but almost 24/7, and an unlimited access. So it really is an amazing opportunity for people to get honest, practical, moral and ethical care that frankly you just can't find in most of the medical industrial complex. And then not only that, but isn't it great if you have somebody that you do know and trust who can advise you on where to go if you do have to go in person for additional treatment for, let's say, you know, that broken leg or car crash type thing.
Yeah, it's great to have an advocate or somebody that can kind of direct you with what to do. Another question I had asked was about the what if you were need blood or something. Do you have anything you can tell me about that with like so many people vaccinated now?
Sure. You know, it's interesting. We don't have a solution on blood yet. We've been looking and talked about even standing up our own national blood supply specifically for, let's just be honest. You're looking at, you know, unvaccinated semen, eggs, and blood are all going to be in pretty tight supply going forward. And I think it's going to be something that the U.S. and frankly the world over is going to need. We're already seeing the incredible negative downside effects of the vaccine program. I mean, I say vaccine with air quotes.
Yeah.
Program. And, you know, with 29,000 people dead, and I mean, and that's just on the low end, and that's just what's reported according to various own numbers. I believe that the number is higher, but I think the repercussions of what we've been seeing thus far are going to last for a very, very, very long time. And so, I mean, this is generational type change. This is potentially game changing as far as nation states, and I mean, this is Game of Thrones at the 5D level type thing. So I call all patriots, all freedom seeking medical clients to contact us, to reach out, to join Pocket Care. If you are a provider that has been shunned and you need a freedom loving organization to be a part of, send us an email at team@rhsusa.com. If you're a patient or a family member that needs to be part of a medical care.
All right, thank you, Adam. Thank you so much. RHSUSA.com. Third and final hour of the War Room. If we lost your phone call, don't hesitate to call back. It's 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Right now, we have another guest, as promised, Dr. Haidar, Syed Haidar. He has worked in internal medicine, trained as a hospital doctor for more than 10 years. He has, last I spoke with him, he told me he had escaped to Puerto Rico for no other reason, because it's just beautiful there and we're all jealous. Is that right? Are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
I don't blame you, man. America's getting real nutty. But thanks for joining us again. I wanted to get your reaction on what we're seeing with now the FDA giving approval. I mean, that's what Kamala Harris says. She says they've approved giving this vaccine to 6 months of age to 5 years old. She doesn't bother to include it's under an emergency order or how that might affect the whole situation. But what is your reaction to this latest development?
Yeah, the first thing is that there's obviously no emergency. You know, anyone can look around and see that there's certainly no emergency at this point. People aren't dying from Omicron, certainly not children. They weren't dying from any of the variants, you know, to any significant extent. I mean, they virtually had zero risk. So the first thing you have to look at is what's the risk to benefit ratio for anything that you're going to do in medicine. And it's so highly skewed toward risk. The second thing is you look at the trial is garbage. Okay, this trial that they're using for 6 months to 4 years and then 5 years to, you know, above and above, I mean, in the children was just utter trash. It supposedly has an 80% efficacy, right? But the range of possible efficacies that's actually published in the trial ranges from -370% efficacy all the way to 99% efficacy. 80% is the point estimate inside that giant range, which crosses zero. And most of the range is in negative territory, right? So that's the most concerning thing here, is that they basically move the goalposts. They don't care whether it's 50% effective or not, because that criteria doesn't even exist anymore. Wow. For this vaccine in babies, because they didn't achieve it. They did not achieve statistical significance for that, you know, supposed 80% number that they're quoting in the media now. It's just, the study is just, you know, it's completely useless as a study. So then they moved on. Okay, now we're just going to prove that it, you know, stimulates an antibody response similar to the antibody response we saw in adults. How did they do that? They took a random 5% that they don't explain how they chose the 5% of children from this trial and tested them for antibodies to the original variant, right, which don't even work anymore. And then they compared the antibody levels to some randomly selected sample. Again, they don't explain how they chose these people in one of the adult trials. And they said, okay, they have similar levels. I mean, you can't even make this up. It's so blatantly fraudulent and just ridiculous. I can't believe, I don't understand what the FDA is thinking. And at this point, I mean, I have never felt this outraged and upset with what's happening in our country. I feel like I have to beg people, don't give this to your babies. You will regret it. Okay, this is the worst possible thing you can inject into them. You're injecting a poison into innocent babies who, you know, maybe either they could die, right? Or they could have lifelong effects. You know, it could affect their fertility. It could cause autoimmune disease. It could cause cancer. It could cause heart disease. I mean, we know all of this already from the adult trials. We know the risks of these things. Look at bears. Look up Maddie DeGray, okay? If you're on the fence about this, if you're happy to vaccinate as soon as possible, look her up. And then for the people who don't want their kids vaccinated, I wouldn't let my child go to a school, you know, nurse's visit or like a health checkup by themselves, because who knows? They may just inject your child without your consent. You don't even know anymore.
Right? I think that's a great point, man. We can't trust any of them anymore. But I got to ask, I mean, I'm very outraged too. And then you see people like Dr. Mary Talley Bowden being so attacked on Twitter. And they call themselves the PED squad or PED squad. I think it's PED squad for pediatrician, but I think PED is funnier. but they have this like stupid TikTok video. And it's like saying, like, we don't know about long COVID and cases are rising and all of this stuff. And if you point anything out, they're like, well, you're not a doctor. You don't know how to read the data. And it's just like, how can these people be doing this? How do you talk to these people?
Yeah, I mean, these people are bozos. That's all I can say. Because if you go and actually try to have a conversation with doctors, nurses, pharmacists, people who are on board with this injection program, they don't have a clue about the data. Okay, they just have talking points from the FDA and the CDC. That's it. They haven't even looked at the studies themselves. You can't have an honest, detailed discussion about any of this stuff with that side of the argument, because they just haven't looked. They don't know what they're talking about. They're not performing informed consent. They don't think it's necessary. They're utterly brainwashed, okay? These doctors are not acting as doctors. They're not upholding their Hippocratic Oath at all, right? They're not following the Nuremberg Code at all. You know, they've thrown it all out. And, I mean, the only way I can explain it is the mass formation psychosis idea of Matthias Desmet, that these people are like insane. They're crazy, especially when it comes to COVID, right? I mean, I'm not saying they're utterly insane in every area of their life, but in this one domain, they've lost the ability to reason, you know? And if your doctor is telling you to get vaccinated or your baby to get vaccinated, fire that doctor. Go find somebody else, okay? I mean, the concerning thing is that in places like California, they're passing laws that would make it like, you know, impossible for doctors to tell you what they really think. But, you know, there are still people out there. You know, get a telemedicine doctor across state lines if you have to. But find somebody who's going to give you their honest, you know, opinion. And I can tell you that, you know, a lot of doctors are not getting vaccinated themselves. I'm not vaccinating my kids, you know. I know a lot of other doctors who personally know, who don't believe, who think these things are dangerous. And they tell me, I don't feel comfortable telling my patients that. You know, all I'll do is send them to the CDC.
They don't feel comfortable telling their patients that the vaccines are dangerous?
Yeah, because they might lose their license. I mean, at this point, we're at the stage where people need to be rioting in the streets or demonstrating in the streets or marching on Washington. You need to be calling your senators. You need to be doing something. We need to organize. We need to take back our country, right? We need to protect our children. I mean, this is like an utter all-out war. It's a biological terror war being perpetrated by Pfizer and the FDA and the CDC. These people need to be hanging, right? They need to be in jail for the rest of their lives. We need to put an end to this.
It's so bad. Explain this to me. There's no question that we're seeing some severe outcomes, and we can't go a day without seeing something strange happen to a young person. There's got to be doctors that are advocating for the vaccines that are then seeing these same patients that they told to get the vaccine, then seeing those same patients with adverse outcomes. Are they just so willfully blind that they cannot make the connection? What do you think's going on there?
Yeah, they have their head stuck in the sand like an ostrich, you know, they have blinders on, they're just plodding ahead, you know, and they don't even know where they're going. They're, you know, the reins are in the hands of Dr. Fauci, and it's just like utter submission to whatever, you know, he tells me to go right, I'll go right, tells me to go left, I'll go left. I mean, these people, you know, I think they've just been frightened out of their minds for 2 years by COVID, you know, fear porn 24/7 from the mainstream media, and they just can't think straight anymore, and they they've just given over. They've been utterly brainwashed, right? And the way to prove that is to just try to have like an intellectual discussion. You know, don't even like try to force them to take your side, but just say, can you explain to me how this could be the case? How can they be safe and effective if Maddie DeGray, if VAERS, if this, if that? You know, how can you say that all the reports in VAERS have nothing to do with the vaccines? Does it make sense to you, right? Like, why suddenly VAERS doesn't work anymore when it works for everything else, for all
it's
the other vaccines?
It's like you can have a million examples and they'll be like, oh, well, correlation doesn't equal causation. It's like, how many correlations do I need to show you for there to be a possible causation?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I mean, there's so many red flags. I mean, it's just too numerous to count. And I mean, you know, everyone gets stuck in their own bubble and their own kind of like echo chamber online and in their life, right? And I'm as prone to it as anyone else. So you have to actively go and try to find people on the other side of the argument, right? To see what the other side is saying. Because otherwise, you're just going to have like reinforcement, positive reinforcement for whatever you believe. I encourage everyone to try to do that. You know, no matter what side you're on of this, try to find out what the most intelligent commentators on the other side are saying. And what I've discovered in this attempt...
Wait, that be the tease. We're going to find out what he discovered after the break. There's the tease. Syed Haider, who is on fire today, he is expressing his outrage against the FDA for approving these vaccines for the youngest that cannot consent. And for the other doctors that are trying to push this vaccine. Now, you were... trying to get something out before we had to go to break. So let's revisit what you discovered.
Yeah, so in almost any argument you can imagine, you know, whether the moon landing was fake or whether, you know, 9/11 was planned by the deep state, you know, all of these, you know, really hot topics, you know, JFK assassination, all of these things, right? You can find a pretty even, you know, two sides of the debate, right? You can kind of go down the rabbit hole on either side and spend, you know, hours and days and read a bunch of intelligent commentary, you know, on both sides, right? With this, it's extremely lopsided, all right? There's basically only one side making any intelligent arguments. The other side, you know, has a few specious articles that, you know, appear, you know, a bit scientific and intelligent, but, you know, if you scrutinize them, they just fall apart. But they are few and far between. I mean, most of the people who are arguing for this, they just basically parrot talking points from Fauci and the CDC and the FDA. And it's mostly, you know, non-clinical and non-science people who are doing all of the, you know, fact-checking, right? It's just journalists, you know, supposed science journalists.
Quote-unquote
but without
journalists.
A science major.
Nobody here is journalists. Important we make that distinction because journalists aren't supposed to just parrot what line they're given. But one of the things I do see is that they kind of fall back on the other side that's trying to push these vaccines and stuff is they say we need to protect kids and others against is it MIS, MIS or whatever, is that what they call it? They'll say that things that we're saying are vaccine adverse events will be like, oh no, that's something that's caused by COVID.
Yeah, I mean, so you see in the first year of the pandemic, you know, you can look at the death rates and then compare them to the death rates after the rollout of the vaccine. I mean, after the vaccine rollout is when we had, you know, the 40% rise in death rates, you know, something that has basically never happened in the history of this country before. It's like a once in a thousand year occurrence. That's just unexplainable without assuming that the vaccines caused it. You know, COVID remained the same throughout. You know, the new element was the vaccines. That itself is like a controlled experiment on the level of the entire world. And yet we went ahead and just continued vaccinating and pushing it out. At this point, more than 5 billion people have been vaccinated. I mean, what if ADE becomes a real threat in the next couple of years? It doesn't happen the first time you're exposed to the virus. It happens at the second...